What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. We're gonna be okay, Angel. We're gonna be okay. Zach Stevens joining me. Zach, my man, Angel, he's our Dolphins guy. He's a Dolphins fan. Some of the Hooligans are coming at him today, so we're getting at it here on a Monday morning.
Oh, man, what a game by the Dolphins.
It was.
Though. I mean, they made it super competitive, and you know what? I came away from that game being higher on the Dolphins than I was going into it, and I'm a fan of them. They're a fun team to watch.
You're just cheering up Angel back there. He needed this, man. He needed this. All right. More importantly, let's talk about those 4-10 Broncos. They found a way to get it done against the Cardinals, and you said it was at Friday, Zach. 24. They got 24 points.
Crazy enough. Even without Russell Wilson, they got 24 points, and it really wasn't about the quarterback play. Although Brett Rypien was extremely efficient, and I mean that in a very complimentary way, Brett Rypien was about as good of a backup as you could ask for in yesterday's game, but it was because of their ground game. When they didn't try to run the ball in the first half, they had 3 points at halftime. It was like, oh, my gosh. I was thinking I was crazy for guessing they were going to get 24 points. And then they were able to run the ball, stick with the ground game, and look what happened. They were able to run all over the terrible Cardinals defense. They were able to slow down J.J. Watt, who was looking like he was going to have a career day of all career days. And they were able to just be very efficient moving the ball down the field.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. He's our Broncos insider. So this game, they get 24. Brett Rypien looked pretty good, like you said, but the run game really got rolling. You know, just thinking about guys like Latavius Murray, I mean, boy, after watching him yesterday, I'm thinking, man, a backfield with him and Javonte Williams and maybe Marlon Mack as the third guy, this could be good.
Yeah, it really could be. And the interesting thing that the Broncos are going to have to deal with in the offseason isn't just building a backfield. It's going to be building two different backfields. One backfield where Javonte Williams isn't on the team because I don't think he's going to be able to play until probably October of next year. And then one when he's back. And what does that look like? And you know what? I think Latavius Murray can be a pretty good replacement for Javonte Williams. And when I say that, I'm not saying he's Javonte Williams. I'm saying for a couple of games, I think he can play that very physical, just punch you in the mouth, keep hitting you type of football that Javonte is so good at. We saw that yesterday. Latavius Murray is a massive running back, and he falls forward. He delivers punches. So then who are you going to compliment him with? And it probably is a guy like Marlon Mack, someone like that. And I think you could be good enough with Latavius Murray and going with a fourth-round running back to get by until Javonte's back.
Well, let's look over at the receiving side of things, too, Zach. Nothing really stood out except for Jerry Jeudy again. 7 receptions, 76 yards. Are we officially saying this guy's turned the corner?
Not quite. It depends on what we're saying, turn the corner. Is he living up to that 15th overall pick in the draft? No, he's not there yet, but do you feel comfortable with him being your top wide receiver? Being the Broncos' best receiver? Absolutely. And he needs to stay at that X receiver spot that they moved him to against the Chiefs and that they kept him to this past week. He needs to stay there even when Cortland Sutton gets back. There's no messing around. Jerry Jeudy is your best wide receiver. Keep him in that position. And you know what? Jerry played a good game, but I love the way the coaches dialed it up for him. They said, we are going to get you the ball early and often. In fact, the very first play is just going to be to get your confidence going, to get Brett Rypien's confidence going. It's just going to be a quick pass to you. And then the second play, we're going to do a very similar play, just another quick pass to you to get the ball going. I love the way they utilized Jerry Jeudy. And it really seemed like when the offense stalled, he wasn't getting the ball. When he was getting the ball, the offense was moving. So it was really the Jerry Jeudy and Latavius Murray show yesterday.
It really was on the offensive side for sure. And with Cortland Sutton, I mean, I would like to see 3 games left here. you know, I don't know what his outlook is looking like, but I'm with you 100%. I think it would be great to see Jerry Jeudy staying in that X spot, and then Courtland Sutton moving around the field, maybe into the slot, get a big body in there. What's the status on Sutton right now? And if he is good to go at some point, will we see them kind of switch roles when they're both on the field?
Boy, I certainly hope so. And Brady, when I was diving into this last week, coaches were still saying, you know, we're going to have Jerry at the X position, but we're going to move him around. We're going to have Courtland Sutton play a little. And man, that would just be a mistake. Jerry Jeudy has started to find his groove. He is clearly the most talented wide receiver on the team. He has the highest upside. And now he's raising his floor this year to be a very solid wide receiver. Now, let's just see if he can turn into an elite wide receiver being at this position. So I am concerned that when they bring Courtland Sutton back, if they do this year, that he would take away from Jerry Jeudy a little bit. And I just think that's the wrong route to take with three games left. And in terms of Courtland, where he's at right now, he has not even practiced the past 2 weeks. And when you're dealing with a hamstring injury, typically those things linger and you want to play him slow. So until I see him on the field, I'm not expecting him. And then you do get to the point where, okay, this is a hamstring injury, a tough injury to deal with. At what point do you just shut him down for the season?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a kind of a guy different than, you know, Russell Wilson or whatever, to see if it all works together. Courtland Sutton, you want to be careful because, you know, you still believe that this guy is a difference maker, and you don't want to risk any long-term injury for next season when you're trying to reload this thing. Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. Zach, that offensive line, we know they've been through – you know, the musical chairs or revolving door, whatever you want to call it. Dalton Reisner, though, he's been, for the most part, that one consistent. And in yesterday, kind of seeing him help hold this thing together, what do you think with Dalton, man? I mean, did he help his case to come back to Denver next year?
Man, I think what's going to happen with Dalton is, since the Broncos have not offered him a contract yet, I think they're going to let him test the free agent market. And if he can go get a bigger contract somewhere else, the Broncos are going to be okay with that. They'll go a different direction to find their guard. But there is a chance that even if he's a free agent, that he can come back. If his value isn't that high, there is certainly the right price to bring Dalton Reisner back. He's a guy that you want around the building. He's a solid offensive lineman. But if he wants really good offensive lineman pay, then it's probably best to let him go. Either one, go get that, or two, go out on the free agent market and find out that, well, no, he's just going to get good offensive lineman play because that's who he is. The Broncos aren't going to overpay for him. And so that's something that I think we're going to see play out come free agency.
Going over to the defensive side of the football, I mean, this is a group we talked about. What's the motivation here? How do they keep going, knowing that they've been so good all season but not a lot to show for it? You're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, but let your leader lead, man. Justin Simmons comes up with two interceptions in that game. And that guy, you don't need to talk to him about motivation. I mean, he is living in that world of motivation for the Broncos.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, no wonder he's, you know, one of the leaders, if not the leader of this team, is because he just has everything you want from that position, that leader. And he is balling on the field. And really, the only criticism coming into this year that you could have had of Justin Simmons is just not really a game-changing type of player. He always typically gets four or so interceptions on the season. But now he's putting it together this season where he is making those game-changing plays. And he is setting up the offense for success. I mean, two games in a season with multiple interceptions is pretty amazing, and that's exactly the type of season Justin Simmons is having.
Yeah, defensively, you just like so much about what they've been able to do, you know, and getting after the quarterback. You see Deshaun Williams get after him a little bit with a couple of sacks for him. Patrick Surtain gets an interception. I mean, it was fairly easy interception for him, but he got it. He's got another one. This defense, though, man, it's just a bummer when you look at that record and go 4-10, because I don't care if it's a backup quarterback or a starting quarterback. This Denver defense has been solid all year for the most part, and it's just a bummer to see a 4-10 record tacked on to them like that.
And what you like to see right now is guys that are getting more opportunities step up, and a guy like Draymond Jones, with him being out, Deshaun Williams steps up. Brady, coming into the season, he had 3.5 sacks in his career. In the past 2 weeks, he has 4.5 sacks. That's such a bright spot to find, and maybe that's a way where you feel more comfortable letting Draymond Jones walk in free agency. Instead of paying him $18, $20 million, you pay Deshaun Williams a couple million to keep him around, and you feel good about that. Is Deshaun as good of a player as Draymond? No, probably not. But for to save that much money when you want to invest the rest of that money into the offensive side of the ball, that's something. How about Alex Singleton, too? I mean, this guy just continues to ball. And this isn't an anomaly. This is a guy who led the Eagles. The Eagles, who are only have one loss this year. He led them in sacks the past two – or, I'm sorry, tackles the past 2 years. And he's just balling again. So you really like seeing these depth pieces. And then one more, Damari Mathis. He's turned into a very good cornerback, too.
Zach Stevens joining us. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you're right. Alex Singleton, Josie Jewell, you really like your linebacking core there. They've kind of, I don't want to say quietly, but, you know, over the years, seeing Josie Jewell bounce back and forth between injuries, the Broncos have quietly put together a really nice inside linebacking core.
They have, and at the cheap, too. I mean, Alex Singleton this year, just $1 million. And you can probably get him back next year for, you know, just a couple of $1 million. Josie Jewell's back next year just for $5 million. So that is how you build great teams, is you find positions and you find guys that play way above their pay, way above what you expected them to. And certainly the inside linebackers are doing that.
Zach, where are we with Coach Hackett? I was looking around at some various tweets from folks about the empty seats at Empower Field. 18,000? Is that real?
Oh yeah, it's real. And Brady, you could tell.
Wow.
It was you know, at the beginning of games, even when there's only, you know, a couple thousand, so that at the beginning of games people get in late, it fills in. There was no filling in, and it was wild just looking around, specifically the 500 section, the upper level, just how empty it was. It was crazy. Broncos country really made a stand. I believe that's the second most no-shows in a game since, like, 2011.
That's insane. So, I mean, all these positives, Zach, that we're talking about the last 2 weeks, I guess, with Hackett, well, that is one glaring negative here. So where do we stand with Nathaniel Hackett? I mean, we talked about it. You need to see something down the stretch. Well, we have. I mean, the Chiefs game, they scored 28. They made it interesting. They almost come back and make that really interesting. They beat the Cardinals. They scored 24. Does it matter at this point anymore, though?
Well, don't look now, Brady, but the Broncos are averaging 26 points per game in their past two games. If that's seriously the key right there, and they're 1-1 in those games with, of course, a close loss to the Chiefs. If they do this the rest of the way, then their final three games where they're competitive with the Chiefs, they beat the teams they should beat, and even, man, even if they go 1-2 in these final two games, which would probably be a win this week on Christmas against the Rams, and then two losses to likely playoff teams with the Chiefs and the Chargers, but they're putting up 24, 28 points, and they're keeping these games close. Even at 1-2 in these final two, three games, I think Nathaniel Hackett will be back. And Brady, you don't want to fire Nathaniel Hackett. And so if he's starting to show signs of life and really a lot of signs of promise, specifically with the offensive side, and you're playing competitive games against playoff teams and you're beating teams you should, that's kind of what you want to see from a coach at the end of his first year, right? You want to see that progress. Now, if they come out and they lose all three games and they get embarrassed by the Chiefs and the Chargers game is bad, well, then I think the decision's pretty clear. This is going to be like a 4-13 football team. You move on. But the Broncos do want to give Nathaniel Hackett the benefit of the doubt, and I think the past 2 weeks he's done enough to get the benefit of the doubt. Now let's see if he can hold on to it.
Well, Russell Wilson's projected to be back in the starting role coming up on Christmas, right? So if you can get Russ going and you really start to see it all start to click, then I'm with you, and I'm kind of leaning that way. Zach, I think I told you on Friday, man, I'm just tired. I'm tired of doing this coaching thing. So please score 25, 26 points this weekend and keep doing that, because I would much rather stay the course than have to do this whole thing all over again.
And I know it's not about, you know, how good of a guy someone is, because if you can't do your job well, then you're going to get fired. But I think everyone wanted to see Nathaniel Hackett succeed because of just that, how much positivity, how good or how much the players liked him. And so you, from a human perspective, you do want to see him succeed, but also from a football perspective, if Nathaniel Hackett can't get it done, then you have to move on from him. But if he's showing signs of life, just most likely, unless the Broncos hit a home run on their coaching search next year, you're going to see some struggles from a coach implementing his new systems as well. So if you're finally seeing those struggles leave with Nathaniel Hackett at the end of the season, then you might as well keep him instead of having to go through this again next year.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Zach, appreciate you as always, my friend. And we feel a little bit better. I mean, even with the no-shows, there is a path for Nathaniel Hackett to keep his job with the Broncos, and you just outlined it beautifully. So we shall see. There's intrigue, at least, for the Broncos. We get to follow them, even though they're not going to the playoffs. There's something to watch for.
Exactly. And we're talking about something different, which is so refreshing, especially for you and I, but then for fans to have hope and optimism. Yeah, it's nice that they were able to break the losing streak.
All right, my man. Zach, appreciate you as always. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Brady.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. There it is. I mean, if you can, he believes, and Zach's around that facility a lot, he believes that if you can see some of that same offensive production against the Rams and, you know, you don't fall too flat on your face against the Chiefs, maybe Hackett is back. So how do you guys feel about that? That's our Method Flow Products poll question of the day at thewholeshow.com. After Denver's fourth win of the season, what are the chances Nathaniel Hackett is back with the Broncos next year? 51 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. The UNC Bears lost to the Buffs, but they showed a lot of fight in that game. We'll talk about it next.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and their Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.